Father, I bow my head before you and I ask you now to release the word that you have hidden in my heart. And I pray that you would just bless these people today. And those who listen to this on the internet, Lord, that you would just magnify your name. Bless them as well. Make this message clear by your Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. Now, the word that, as I received prayer this morning, I really want you to know that God doesn't have a second plan. He only has one. It's plan A. He doesn't switch to plan B. Okay? And when I was praying earlier today, asking God, what do you want me to talk about today? What is it that you want to give to these people? And he said, I want you to concentrate on one verse. So I'm going to give it to you. It's Isaiah 54, verse 17, but it's the second part of that verse. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and this is their vindication from me, declares the Lord. So the word inheritance. I'm reminding you that there are times that in my thought pattern, I would have loved to have an inheritance. I would have loved to see an abundance of finances in my family. How many can relate? An abundance. Okay? Lots and lots of bucks. But guess what? It didn't happen. Why didn't it happen? Maybe because God had a better plan. So, sometimes we have expectations of certain people. How many have ever had certain expectations of people? They should have done. How many have ever heard those words? They could have done. But they didn't do it. Yeah. You can relate, right? Yeah. After all, if I had $1 million tomorrow, what would I do with it? Thank you. This girl's on my team. And a few months ago, there was a young man that was in his 30s who was homeless. And a gentleman with a program on TV, I just forgot the name of the program. They gave him a check for $100,000. Yeah, wow, that's what I said. You can do whatever you want with it. Did you see the Bob? Okay. This young man who was homeless went out and bought vehicles. And did certain things that you and I would never do. And he squandered all this money in a matter of a few months. And then he was in deep debt, which he had not been in debt when he was homeless. So much for being rich. Instead of taking that gift, putting it to work, and finishing his education, if he would have needed one, or needed probably more than an education, because I've seen educated idiots. Have you? Lots of degrees, and there's no wisdom. No savoir-faire, as they say in French, no way of knowing how to manage life, how to manage their finances, how to save a buck for tomorrow in case it rains. And it could rain tomorrow. What am I saying to you? I'm saying to you that the inheritance of finances is a marvelous gift for those who have a wisdom of how to take care of it. And maybe God was giving you something that you didn't get in finances, but He gave it to you in the promises of God from your family, where there were prayer people that prayed you into the kingdom. How about them apples? They would give you an eternal salvation because of their intercession that would change your life someday. And yet, irritate you with the knowledge of God when you weren't ready to receive it. Is that the truth? How many have ever been irritated by the Word of God? Come on, put your hand up, wave it around. I have. They're driving me crazy. Don't talk to me about God anymore because, after all, He treated me wrong. I should have been a millionaire and I'm not. They should have done this and they should have done that and they didn't. And therefore, that's why I'm suffering. Woohoo! Come on, you guys. You're human, aren't you? Touch your neighbor, say you're human. The inheritance from those servants of God, their heritage is so much more because it's going to last for eternity. Not a few months like the guy on TV. Not a few years like I've known people who had all kinds of wealth and lost it all on one bad investment in some gambling situation. Yeah. Yeah. I have a testimony for you. And it's going to take a couple minutes because it's important. My wife's cousin, who we have been praying for several years, went home to be with the Lord, but had one son, who's actually between my two sons. So he's in his middle 40s. Several years ago, had lost both of his parents, inherited a lot of their finances, which we are very well aware of, because we knew these were hardworking people, had worked all their lives, had inherited from their family, and they had well-to-do situations. Lots of investments, at least one paid-for home that was relatively new, a couple of vehicles, and this one young man inherited all of these finances. And guess what? These are his words. I built a lot of teepees for the Indians. Meaning he spent some of his time in Connecticut and wasted his inheritance. Lost two homes, many brand new vehicles, several jobs, and chose to drink and drug. I'm not picking on him. I'm just telling you the facts. One day, him and his wife came to our home and asked my wife and I if we could lend them some money. And we did. They asked us for a certain amount. And I privately said to my wife, "This is your cousin. How do you want to work this?" She says, "I believe we should lend them the money because, after all, they deserve another chance." I says, "Okay." I said, "On one stipulation, that between you and I, this money will be a gift to them, but they don't need to know it's a gift. Because I don't want you and me to have an expectation that it'll return. Because if we do, we're going to be bound. Okay?" So we did make out a check and released the finances. About 8 or 10 months later, we received half of it back. So we put it back in a savings account. And about another 6 or 7 months went by.
And there was a phone call, and would you have a problem relending us what we gave you back? And I said, no. What's the reason? Well, we're moving to Florida. We've just lost this and we've lost that. And we need to move to Florida because we need a new start. They accepted the Lord, born again. And we gave them a Bible. And gave them back the money that they had paid back. And off they went to Florida with a U-Haul trailer. With what they could bring. Less than a year later, I get a phone call. I had actually gotten one other call in between that he was in jail. Several times he had prayed with me over the phone, but the alcohol and the booze, the drugs were still, these were legal drugs, by the way. He got prescriptions for all of them. I should point that out. But he continued in deceiving himself and deceiving his wife, but he didn't put the wool over my eyes because I told him, you're going to have to walk this one out. But he didn't believe me. Ended up in jail, spent several months in jail, and sent me several letters while in jail. I wrote back, ministering to him, releasing him little pieces of booklets of information and trying to rebuild him back up. Because, again, see, he had this black sheep attitude. And I told him, Jesus died for all the sheep, not just for the black ones. The white ones, too. The gray ones, the dirty ones. He died for all of them. Make a long story short, I get another phone call. Now he's out of jail. Well, he says, Kim, he says, I need, and he began to give me the list of needs. And required this and this and this, and I said, I love you enough to say no. Well, you know, it's only $3 a day here. Could you at least give me a few more days to stay at this shelter because I have no way of paying it? I said, you should have thought of that before you drank your last bottle. And what am I doing? I'm trying to tell you that tough love is the hardest thing to give. Now, how many can relate? See, I'm trying to give you understanding of what you are in inheritance of. And I'm not picking on anybody. I'm not putting blame on anybody. I'm not putting blame on this person. Because God was working in his heart. He says, what happens if I have no place to live? I said, well, you need to really step up to the plate because you're a man. Well, I lost my wife and I lost this and I lost that. And I said, then I agree, you lost it all. But God has a plan to change you. So he gave me a bunch of this and that, and I tell him, I said, absolutely not. However, I would like the name of the gentleman who's the manager of this shelter. So after I hung up with him, I called back and I spoke to the manager of the shelter, and I left him a message that if this young man accrued any extra, because they were giving him so many days, and I believe it was like 3 or 4 days of free room and board, and I would cover for him, but I didn't want the young man to know. I did not want this man to know that I was going to cover for him secretly. So, guess what? Didn't hear a thing for a year and a half. Not one word. Like he fell off the end of the world. But he called me just a couple of months ago, Sunday night. Kim, I want to thank you for loving me when I wasn't lovable. Oh, nice to hear from you. Where have you been? It's a long story. Do you have a few minutes? Can you call me back? Because I know you got circle dialing, and for me, it's going to cost. No problem. Gave me the phone number. My wife and I are back together after being separated for many, many months. I now know what you mean about Jesus Christ being my Lord and my Savior. I says, you prayed with me. He says, yeah, but I didn't understand. And I was jumping up and down on the inside saying, God, what did you do? He said, out of my suffering, I found him. Out of my hard time, I ended up washing dishes from 11 o'clock at night until 7 in the morning. And I had lots of time to think and no time to drink. And out of that hardship, I got to know the Word of God because they taught me how to come alive in Christ. And now my Bible's got some wear and tear in it instead of getting a lot of dust. And I said, okay, what else had happened? He said, well, after that job for about 7 months, he says, the manager of the shelter asked me to come to their office. And I thought I did something wrong. The Salvation Army shelter. He says, they gave me the job of managing the whole shelter. So I'm now working full time managing the shelter that took care of me. And now I'm helping others come to life in Christ Jesus. He said, but the best news is that my wife and I are back together. I'm on the worship team. Every Sunday morning, I'm on the worship team, and I get to play the instrument that God gave me. Several weeks later, I heard my wife giving a praise report from his wife, because this gentleman graduated from the University of Massachusetts as a musician in a high degree of talent in playing the bass fiddle. She says, I tried everything to get rid of that thing because it's so big and so bulky. And she says, I couldn't get rid of it. No matter how hard I tried to get rid of him, I couldn't get rid of it. It had his name on it. And she says, I couldn't stand anything with his name on it. But now, I'm going to church and I'm watching him play and God's getting the glory. What an inheritance. It took the loss of homes, cars, bank accounts, and the loss of a wife, and the loss of his mother and his father, for him to come to life with the inheritance that was his from the beginning, through Christ Jesus our Savior. Think of it. The Scripture says in Isaiah 54:17, no weapon forged against you will prevail, and you will refute every tongue that accuses you. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and this is their vindication from me, declares the Lord. What is the word vindication? To take the guilt away. And I said to this young man, I says, I am so blessed today. He says, you know, you have been more than a father to me. I says, okay. Why? Because I wouldn't give you what you wanted? Or I didn't agree with you when you were wrong? What was I being? I was being one that would hold him accountable for what he was supposed to do, which was to stand up and wake up and do what he could not do with the help of the Lord. See, there are places in my life that I could not change. But when I cried out to Jesus, he came and he helped me. That's what the Savior is all about. You see, Savior of the world. Well, if he saves the whole world and he forgets you because you think you fell off the deep end somewhere, it's time that you and I reason out that his purpose in taking things away from you is so that you would find him. How many have lost lots of goodies? Go ahead, wave your hand. Thank you. When you lose something, you want it back, right? Especially if it was stolen. Now, some people think that the enemy is not a stealer. Well, I think he is a stealer. He steals from your mind. He steals from your thought patterns. And he always wants to put the accountability on somebody else. And Jesus says every single one of us will answer to him. Every single one of us will answer to him. Now, this young man has now realized that he lost everything, but he gained the most important part, which was eternal salvation. And he knows he's going to spend eternity now with his family. You see, living on this earth, we're going to do for a few years, and then after that comes the next level. Amen? Okay, I want you to go to Acts chapter 20, verse 32. Acts chapter 20, verse 32. It says, "Now, I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." Close your eyes. I want to read that to you one more time. "I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." An inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Who are these that are sanctified? Those who have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, those who are born again of his Spirit, and those who are being transformed on a continual basis, a little bit at a time, and when they see the ugliness of their old self, they say, "God, would you please take this mess and clean it up?" That's what this young man did. He said, "God, I can't change me. Every time I try, I fail. But if I cry out to Jesus, I can be changed. And my inheritance will be with those who are sanctified." How did they get to learn that they were failures? By the same experiences that you are learning that you can't change yourself. Let's go one more. Hold on a minute. Acts chapter 26, verse 18. Acts chapter 26, verse 18. I'm going to start at verse 15. "Then I asked, 'Who are you, Lord?' 'I am Jesus, whom you persecuting.' The Lord replied, 'Now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen of me and what I will show you. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sin and to place among those who are sanctified by faith in me." Who are sanctified by faith in me. Sanctification comes through faith in Christ Jesus. This young family has now been changed because they chose to go with Christ Jesus and to let him do a cleaning job. Last verse, Ephesians 1, verse 11. Ephesians 1, verse 11. It says, "In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will." Chosen. Sometimes you feel like you're at the bottom of the barrel. Why do you think he allows us to go down to the bottom of the barrel? To find out he's all I need. Perfect. You know, and you know what? I had so much unbelief in that area. I couldn't comprehend when people would testify, "Jesus did this for me. Jesus did that for me." And when I first got to know him, I thought, "Oh my God, you know, I'm supposed to clean myself up." How many can relate? I'm supposed to clean myself up. You see, while you're working on yourself, trying to clean yourself up, it's a self-help program. and they don't work. They're a part-time deliverance. Okay? I've seen people who have tried so hard to sanctify themselves and make themselves holy and work and work and work and push and push and push and get absolutely what? Nowhere. When Jesus says, in Him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan. What is the plan? The plan is for you to go to Him and let Him change you from what you were to what you need to become. This young man had no place to go. I wouldn't fill the blanks with what he required of me. I couldn't, because I knew that if I did it, he was going to think of me as his Savior. And I didn't want to become his Savior anymore. And by the way, when I was responding to all his questions, how many know, even if you only hear half the conversation, you know that something is going on. And my wife was in the other room, and she says, I'm glad you responded, because I would have gave in. I said, yeah, I know, that's why I wouldn't give you the phone. But I gave her the phone a year and a half later, and I said, now listen to the fruits of tough love. Why is tough love so hard to give? Because we are so emotional. How many love to give in to their kids if they would only appreciate it? And they don't. Is it their fault? How many know that it's a normal trait to be greedy? Yeah! I want it all! Yes! It's a normal trait. Is it easy to live in that place when you have needs, and they are very real needs, and somebody's saying no? I'll give you an area that at one point I was crying out to God for something that I thought I needed. I really believe I really, really needed this, okay? And God was not letting it happen. So I'm still trying to perform it, to make it happen. Of course, none of you guys ever do that. But... no. So I did this little trick, and I did that little trick, and guess what? It still backfired. Didn't get it. So I go for prayer. The person anoints me and says, well, you've been trying, and we've been trying, and you've been trying. Are you tired yet? I didn't want to hear that word. I was tired. But you see, that need was so big, supposedly, that I just couldn't fulfill it. And I said, okay, so God, I've been working and working and getting nowhere. He says, yes, because you wouldn't give it to me. You want to do it on your own so you can get the glory. Do it on my own so I could get the glory. Whoa. Okay. Guess we got to go to plan B, right? God doesn't have a plan B, but I had to have a plan B. Which was what? To go back to Jesus and say, okay, I don't know how and which way that I am being selfish here, but I confess my selfishness. I don't know how and which way that I am being demanding of you, but I'm going to ask you to forgive me. And I'm going to ask you to make me an instrument that will understand so that I can be compassionate and learn from this experience that whatever I so desired, whatever I thought was so important, changed my mind, changed my heart. And he did. In him, I was chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of Him's will. That's my version of the scripture. Now I could put in all your names and you'd all agree. But it's not my will that counts. Because you see, His purpose and His plan and His will is to conform me to get that inheritance that I need to get from Him. And when I release myself back to Him, He's going to come in when I least expect it. How many knows He shows up like a little... just like that. Snap of a finger. And He begins to change our hearts. Begins to change our minds. Oh my God, I guess I don't need this thing. I think I can do without this thing, Lord. I can adjust this and I can do that. And I can stop worrying for a change. And begin to thank You for the inheritance that I've already gained through Christ Jesus. Bow your heads, please. And I'm going to ask you to put your right hand in the back of your head. Just like this. Say, Lord Jesus, whatever changes that I need in my mind to change my desires from selfishness to the purpose of my Father, so that the inheritance that is mine in Christ Jesus will manifest. And I promise to give You the glory and the honor and all the praise. And I'm reminding You right now that when I lay my hands on the sick, that You're going to do the healing. Whatever is sick in my mind, whatever demands that I'm making that are not of You, I'm asking You now, in Jesus' name, heal my mind. Change my mind. Change my disposition. So that I can get what You've prepared in eternity for me and my house. In Jesus' name. You know, when I began to receive part of this message this morning, I was aware that some of you would be here and you might be offended. So I confess to you, it was not prepared because I thought it was a good idea. It was prepared because I knew that we need to change. And whether we, you know how to change, sometimes we just don't know how. And if we admit to the Lord, I don't know how. Help me! He will come and He will rescue me. And He'll do the same for each of you. Amen?
Amen.
Share some love with each other. Be kind to each other. God willing, we'll see you Tuesday. And believe the Thursday night Bible study is still on, correct?
Yes.